It's Tech Talk time once again on KCLR. I'm Ken Maguire. This is Tech Talk Season 3, Episode 2. Alan's away, so I'm joined this week by Conan Wynacon from Black Knight Solutions in Carlow, where we take a look at the potential launch of a new cryptocurrency from Facebook. We touch base on Huawei. They're around a month into this 90-day reprieve from the US government, but are Huawei phone users still at risk by the end of the summer, losing apps from the Play Store and access to other functions? We've also had the climate action plan this week, but now there's talk that the Irish government needs an artificial intelligence plan. They are the topics. This is Tech Talk.
Tech Talk on KCLR with Black Knight for domain names, web hosting, email and all things cloud.
Before we get into it, how's all with you and Black Knight? How are things going? Busy. Saw the newsletters are flying out there today.
Very busy, yeah. We've just pushed out our newsletter to thousands of subscribers. If you want to find out more, go to blackknight.com/newsletter and we'll be putting it out on Twitter and Facebook. Basically, what we're saying to people is that it's easier than ever to get online. I recently built a website in less than 20 minutes and I put up a video in case people don't believe me actually doing that. Did it on stage at a business event that was in Waterford there a couple of months ago. And we've been to, oh, I don't know, dozens of similar events in the last while. And we've got a team, in fact, in Gorey today at Digital Picnic, which is an event that's on today. So much business buzz around the country at the moment, Ken. Lots of people, especially small businesses, talking about getting online, doing business, marketing themselves, using the tools that the likes of Facebook and Google are giving us, and putting their own shoulders to the wheel as well. So it's very exciting.
And has it generally become that easy, that in 20 minutes, start to finish, you're done, you're online, you're away, you're
going. Yeah. It is. I mean, you know, when people say how much effort does it take to make a website or to how much money does it take, I answer how long is a piece of string, because you can spend 400 euros, you can spend 4,000 euros on your business website. But what we're saying to people is that if you're just starting out and you're not sure, come in and check our Black Knight site builder tool, because with that you can get online with a free domain name and a digital security certificate, you know, this SSL that's required on every website nowadays. And I built a website in less than 20 minutes. You might take 2 hours to do it, and it only costs 40 euros, and you're up and running for a year with that. Look, there's more information about it on our website, Ken, but the important point about it is that for some people, that's all they ever need. And for others, maybe 2 months or maybe 3 weeks down the line, they'll find, hey, I'm doing a load of business, I need something different. Then we say, go find yourself a good web developer. And the best way to do that, actually, is ask around, Ken. Talk to other people, look at websites that you like, and pick up the phone and ring the business person that it is, if you have a connection with them, or even if you don't, and just say, love your website, who built it for you? That's the kind of thing we encourage and recommend people to do.
Nice, all systems go, says you. Well, you've mentioned money, and money is one of the topics that's come along. Facebook are in the news, and I thought Facebook and money, in terms of being able to, people being able to share money between each other on Facebook, was done. It was a thing of the past. And then we heard during the week that they're going to launch the new cryptocurrency. MasterCard are behind it, Visa and PayPal. But what do we know? Or for the uninitiated, maybe, what's a cryptocurrency? Because we hear things like Bitcoin and Litecoin being lobbed around. Is this the same vein?
It is the same, and it's different, which is very interesting in a way, because there are some advantages to cryptocurrencies, which are basically currencies. They're these virtual digital currencies that for a true cryptocurrency at the moment, the likes of Bitcoin and many of these others, there's nobody in charge of them. The rules have been set up. An algorithm has been designed. Bitcoins are created by solving mathematical problems according to a certain algorithm. And in fact, that's become quite an intensive use of computer resources for people who are involved in mining and trying to create new bitcoins. But for something like this, it maybe has more in common with a traditional sort of fiat currency. And the difference, the main difference, I would say, is that you mentioned companies like PayPal and Stripe and Visa and lots of other ones are involved. Vodafone, for example, is involved, MasterCard. It's a little bit. They've set up what is called they're calling the Libra Association. Libra is the name of this new cryptocurrency that Facebook are backing, and lots of other companies like PayPal and others are involved as well. And if you look at something like Bitcoin, there's no one in charge. The maths has been set up and defined. The algorithm has been set up and off it goes. And that means that it's independent of a lot of, it doesn't, you know, it's kind of, it's independent and nobody can sort of game it from one point of view. It also means it's a little bit unstable. And as I said, there's a lot of effort and a lot of resources going into mining new Bitcoins, which are worth more and more as the scarcer they become relative to when it all started out. With this, you could in a way look at this new Libra Association that has been set up as being maybe something more akin to a sort of central bank for this new currency, in that there are actually people in charge. One of the things is that While blockchain technology will be used to verify transactions, and there's this whole distributed ledger involved where a number of different nodes of it exist, and when a transaction occurs, it's added to that ledger. That element of blockchain is being kept, but you won't be able to mine new currencies or new Libra coins, if you like. Instead, they're actually created when someone buys into it. So you're going to get a Libra wallet. In fact, I think they're calling it a Calibra wallet because that's the subsidiary of Facebook that's been set up to run this. And this wallet, you can basically put in euros or dollars or pounds sterling or anything like that to actually create new Libra coins. So that's how it's going to be worked. The thing it's going to have, I think, is stability. And it's going to be interesting because while it won't have the instability of things like Bitcoin, it will have the advantages that make that very attractive to people who are maybe trying to conduct financial transactions in areas that haven't been traditionally well served by traditional financial services.
Do you think that it opens the door or it opens the debate for regulation around the likes of Bitcoin and Litecoin and all of the others that are out there?
The short answer to that, Ken, is that it certainly opens more questions than answers. Yeah. And one of the key questions is going to be, if it is going to be treated as a currency, how independent is this Libra Association going to be of the companies that are involved, and specifically of Facebook, which has a major involvement in setting this up. One thing I would say about it is that we are told that it's going to be open source, so that the Libra software is going to be open source, and for that reason that certainly is a step in the right direction for transparency, if not accountability or regulation. There's a lot of study and a lot more questions, as I say, than answers at this stage.
Okay, well, interesting to keep an eye on. They're saying that it's they're aiming for the first half of 2020 to roll it out, so I'm sure we're going to be talking about it as it starts to gather steam. Another one, Con, that came up in the news, and look, it's been around for a while, and I know there's certain people in this building, and there's certain people I know at home that may be listening that have invested in Huawei mobile phones. We've all seen the ads, and we've all seen the amazing photos and the this and the that, and it's faster and it's super and it's great, and then everybody goes, oh, forget your Galaxies and forget your iPhones, everybody's onto Huawei. And then as soon as everybody goes and does their upgrades, they hear, what's the story? I can't. Are we not going to be able to use our Google App Store, and are we losing all the apps, and are we actually going to, is the phone going to be worth anything? So there was a ban proposed in the US on Huawei, and then Google jumped on board, and then it got a kind of a 3-month reprieve. This has been we're about a month into that at the moment. So so what do we know? Is this still something that's going to go ahead? Are Huawei phone users in trouble, or what's the story?
Well, if Huawei phone users are in trouble, Ken, then there are a lot of very big companies, US companies, European companies, all over the world, that are going to be in trouble in a way as well. That's one of the reasons why and this wasn't a proposal to ban Huawei. This was an actual ban that was announced and then delayed or deferred by 90 days. And the reason that I would say that it's really messy, it's really tricky. The problem for trying to ban one company's technology is that All of this, it's the way the internet is designed, Ken. All of this technology is designed to interact, interoperate. And in fact, Huawei are embedded, their technology is embedded in systems, which also includes technology from other companies like Cisco or any other company, indeed, as well, that's involved in manufacturing hardware and software for international internet and communications technology. It is all just so muddled up and tied up together. Huawei is involved in joint ventures with European and American companies, and there is a huge, it's very difficult to disentangle, would be the way that I would look at it. Secondly, there is it's very difficult to prove that some of the allegations from a national emergency or a national security point of view that have been made against Huawei are true. However, what I might say is that there is likely to be true about Huawei as they are maybe about some other of the big players as well. And the line between large companies and what they do with our data and how they have our data and various governments, not just the Chinese government, is perhaps not as delineated as we would like it to be. So it really is difficult to say at this stage, but I think that the next month or two, we're definitely going to hear more about it. And I would be surprised personally if it was as simple as Donald Trump making a stroke of a pen to outlaw Huawei technology. You have to remember as well, Ken, this is a company that has grown rapidly, and that there is, if you like, a difference in the way companies work under government regulation in China. Their companies are seen as champions of the economy rather than operations that need to be regulated by government. There's in many ways, a much cozier relationship between government and business in China than there is elsewhere.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that goes, because I know there was talks of, I don't know, that they have some representatives in Dublin today, or there was talk of them today, because they're involved in the potential 5G rollout, and if Huawei can't get involved, it'll cost Europe like billions and billions and billions more. But for phone owners, I think we can at least rest easy for a little while. But that kind of steers us towards the last piece that I wanted to look at today, and it's been an interesting week. We had a lot of talk on air at the start of the week about the government's climate action plan that was announced, but now there's been calls in certain sectors that if Ireland is to become an island of artificial intelligence, that we should now have an actual kind of public policy on AI. We'd spotted this in Silicon Republic earlier in the week. 76% of people saying that the Irish government need to implement a public policy for artificial intelligence, and believing that it's important that Ireland puts itself at the forefront of the AI revolution. Are we there yet? Is the artificial intelligence kind of sector and industry that strong in Ireland at the moment?
I would say nowhere near it. And it's interesting that we were just talking about China, Ken. And the fact of the matter is that that is an example of, I think, a country and an economy where artificial intelligence is being employed in all kinds of business making or business situations. And really, they are probably leading the world, again, possibly because of a lack of inhibition in relation to ethics and rules in relation to this. And I don't mean to be especially critical of China, but again, it's part of the same thing, which has raised the suspicions and the clouds in relation to Huawei, which is that there is less regulation and there is less restriction, I think, and there is less data protection in those countries. So artificial intelligence, Ken, really has an awful lot of impact on our daily lives. And what this report, I think, is calling for is, on the one hand, that there needs to be perhaps more encouragement of adoption of AI by Irish business and some kind of public policy in place. But the other side of that coin of public policy is that there needs to be some kind of regulation, perhaps, and some kind of how would you say, some kind of maybe legislation in relation to how artificial intelligence is deployed. And the reason for this, Ken, is that artificial intelligence has the potential, like a lot of technology, to be a great tool to help us in our daily lives. It also has the potential to be dangerous as well, and to be misused. For example, if you have widespread, a lot of people are concerned about widespread deployment of facial recognition technology, yep. for example, without there being necessarily oversight or anything like that in relation to that. Where artificial intelligence can be a problem is that if you set up a chain of actions which need to be taken based on a particular set of data, or if you encourage a machine to think a problem through and to recommend or even to implement a course of action without some kind of oversight, then you're getting into a problem. For example, in relation to the an example might be the recent situation where the Boeing jets were finding themselves with a software problem that led to two fatal crashes. Yep. And again, you know, artificial intelligence, we already see it gets deployed. For example, it's deployed extensively in, for example, financial markets and things like that at the moment, where very often split-second reactions and quick responses are required in order to buy or sell or hold on a particular set of data or in a particular response from the markets. Sometimes that kind of software has to, you know, can cause a run, for example, on a particular stock or on a particular currency, unless there's some kind of oversight or some kind of management or some kind of suitable design put in place. So there's all kinds of reasons that we should be concerned about AI. This report that you referred to is interesting. It's by PricewaterhouseCoopers and the Analytics Institute. I suspect that they didn't, when they say 76% said the Irish government needs to implement a public policy for AI, that's not 76% of people that they walked out onto the streets and tracked down. I presume it's people involved in maybe business or technology, or people who have some kind of a particular point of view in relation to that. They identified six priorities that could lead to AI success for Ireland, that there would be a public understanding of the technology, both in government and in business, and indeed in public spheres as well, that there would be the development of a national AI strategy, that specific data sets would be identified to solve specific problems, that policies would be put in place to build an AI-ready workforce, and, as I said, point number five, making AI, artificial intelligence, trustworthy, and that is really is a circular thing, because the public have to have trust in it, and confidence and transparency is what's required there. And then the sixth one, and this is where it can get dangerous, combining artificial intelligence with other technologies such as the Internet of Things. We've heard that term before, Ken, as well.
Yeah, I'm going to say if we see like the robots in the house start talking to each other and then decide that Ken doesn't need to live here anymore and they're happier kind of cleaning the house themselves, and it's like, no, we're going to play my kind of music, not his kind of music. I don't know, really. It's a kind of an interesting world. Anything else of tech note caught your eye or gadget wise that you're looking at the minute before we let
you
go?
No, well, just I guess not, except that the government has unveiled a really quite radical climate change strategy or climate action plan, which I think is certainly of interest. A lot of analysis, a lot of people talking about it. Some people saying it's unrealistic, other people saying that it is inevitable and the minimum that that is actually required. It's interesting, Ken, and I think you found this yourself probably. It's something that you find actually thanks to the Extinction Rebellion, thanks to the kids, the school kids strike and all of that. I think it really is the political issue and the issue that people are actually starting to sit up and take notice of in 2019. Are we facing an existential crisis in terms of climate change? And if so, Are we prepared to bite the bullet and maybe take some hard actions to actually defer that, or to in some way mitigate that? So I would say the first thing I would say about the government proposals is that to actually have made such concrete proposals like this, and to have it certainly is actually putting into practice what this could actually mean for people in their daily lives. And I think it's something we all need to be talking about.
I think it's going to open up a good discussion for us in a couple of weeks as well around green tech and what comes next alongside electric cars. But Conn and Winnicon, Black Knight Solutions in Carlow. If people are looking to get in touch, you'd mentioned the newsletter, but what's the best way to reach you guys these days?
You'll find it all at blackknight.com.
Fantastic. Conn, thanks a million. This has been Tech Talk Season 3, Episode 2. And we'll talk to you again soon. Good luck.
Tech Talk on KCLR with Black Knight for domain names, web hosting, email, and all things cloud.